Verse 2, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's called this morning, the great salvation. Did you ever stop and think about the word great just within itself? The word great, it means mighty or much or a large size or a large number or a large quality. The word great always means something far above the average or far above anything else. And the Bible calls it great salvation. Now I want to talk this morning some things why it's called great. Why did the writer put down great salvation? Why didn't he just say, how shall we escape if we neglect salvation? But he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's called great, number one, because it was a great God and Savior that came to accomplish it. It was the greatest God that ever was. I mean, there's gods in this world, there's gods in creation, but the greatest God is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that's what He came to accomplish. He came to accomplish this great salvation. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus had a singular purpose for coming to this earth. You say, well, when Jesus on this earth, He healed the sick and He raised the dead and He caused the blind to see, and I know all that. He did all that, but that's not why He come. He come to save sinners. That was His main purpose. He said in John chapter 10, I lay down my life. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. His purpose was He come to save sinners. He didn't come primarily to heal the sick and to cause the blind to see, even though He did all those things. That's just a part of it. But His primary purpose was He come to save sinners. It's called great salvation because it called a whole world to Christ. He didn't die for just a few. He didn't die for black, didn't die for white, didn't die for men, didn't die for women. He come to save the whole world, the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 John, I think it is chapter 4 and verse 14, it says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the whole world. This morning, this great salvation is not only extended to you here this morning, not only to this town 4 miles, but the entire world this morning. Any man, any woman, anywhere in the world this morning can be saved by this great salvation. That's something great, isn't it? I mean, nobody else ever did anything so great that it affected the whole world, did it? But Jesus did. It's called great salvation. And it's a great salvation because it's the one and only way for a person to be saved. Now let me just stop there just for a minute and show you another place in the Bible. Go back to John chapter 1, John chapter 14 just for a minute. John chapter 14. I want to show you something there that's simple, easy to understand, and yet probably got more people confused than probably anything in the Bible. John chapter 14, and look there at verse 1. Now you know the story here. Jesus had met with His disciples here, and He was telling them something He hadn't told them up to this point. And He said in verse 1, John 14 verse 1, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Listen to that, folks. You know what He's saying? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, you got folks this morning got troubled heart. You know, you got folks that got trouble. There's folks in the hospital. There's folks in jail. There's people laying in the bed this morning that'll never get out. They're going to die. You got folks with terminal cancer. You got folks with all kind of. You got spasm clinics. You got mental clinics. We're living in a world this morning where folks having trouble. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, why not? He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now notice, He didn't say, don't believe there's a God. You got folks who say, I believe in God. But let me remind you, this so does the devil. And you see, you got folks, I believe in God. What about Jesus? Well, He said, you believe in God, believe in me. You can't believe in God, not believe in Jesus. Because He said so, didn't He? He said, you believe in God, then believe in me. If you got troubles, if you're troubled, then believe in me. Now listen to the next verse there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And here's what He said. I go to prepare a place for you. You hear what he said? He said, I'm going to fix a place for you. And if I go, listen to this, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now let's stop just for a minute right there. How many think he went to prepare a place? Said he would, didn't he? Well, if he went away, he said he's coming back, didn't he? Huh? So we've got God's word he's coming back for us, isn't he? Now who's he coming back for? For everybody? Is he coming back for everybody? Who's he coming back for? He's coming back for that in verse 1, them that believe on him, aren't they? That's what he said. You believe in God, believe also in me. And if you believe in me, I'll go away. And I'll prepare a place for you. And when I prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he this morning? He's in heaven, isn't he? So going to heaven depends on whether you believe on Jesus or not, don't it? That's where it depends on, don't it? It don't say get baptized, does it? It don't say sign up, does it? It says believe in me, don't it? He says, I go and prepare a place for you. See? He came the first time to prepare a people. He's coming back to get that prepared people and take them to that prepared place. And all those that are prepared this morning, if you've never believed on Jesus, you aren't prepared to go to that prepared place. See? He's been getting folks prepared for 2,000 years. And folks, I believe that place is just about finished, don't you? I believe that prepared place is just about ready for them prepared people. I believe he's coming back real soon. And look what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then there's always this kind, like Thomas. You know, everything Jesus said, Thomas couldn't find, just couldn't believe it. You got Baptists. Like Thomas must have been a Baptist, you know. Because everything Jesus said, Thomas said, well, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it one bit. You know, they told Thomas after Jesus resurrected, they said, hey, we saw the Lord. See, Thomas just laid out of church Sunday night. He thought Sunday morning was enough to come to church. So Sunday night, he didn't show up, see. So he missed the Lord. And they said, hey, Thomas, we saw the Lord. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it one second. But he'd already told him, he said, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, be crucified, 3 days and three nights, he'll resurrect. He told them that, didn't he? They said, hey, Thomas, he done it. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it one minute. He must have been a Baptist. He said, unless I can see it, unless I can touch his hand and touch his side, I ain't going to believe it. Didn't he? So they was there that next night, next Sunday, and Jesus just showed up, didn't he? And you know what? Jesus said, Thomas, and that's all he had to say. Thomas didn't have to touch him, did he? He said, my Lord, my God, didn't he? See, folks, when a man's real, he ain't got to see no sign. All he's got to do is hear what God said. When he heard that voice, he knew it's right, didn't he? That's all it takes. If you realize one, all you got to do is hear the voice. And you know what it's God talking to you, don't? I mean, you know. Thomas didn't say, I believe you're an imposter. Are you sure you're the one? He knew as soon as he heard his voice, didn't he? But Thomas didn't doubt. He said, look at what he said in verse 4. And whether I go and the way you know. Jesus said, the way I go and you know how to get there. And old Thomas said, Lord, we know not whence thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas says, Lord, what do you mean? We don't know the way. And Jesus said something that's so simple any child here this morning can understand it. Huh? And you know what he said? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, didn't he? Huh? I am the way and the truth. The way is the truth. Well, who's the way? I mean, is the Baptist? The Baptist way. That must be, you got to join the Baptist, right? No. Well, you got to join the Methodist, right? Maybe it's the Catholic. No. No. You miss it all then. It's Jesus. That's the only way, folks. It's Jesus. He said again, he said, I'm the door, didn't he? Any of you ever went through a door? How many of you went through a door? Let me see your hand. Some of you ain't went through a door yet. But folks, that's how you get saved. He said, I'm the door, didn't he? He said, I'm the way, didn't he? Hmm? Now the Pope ain't the way. Hmm? I mean, he ain't the way. I don't care what he says. He ain't the way if this is right, isn't it? Hmm? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said again over there, he said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. And he said in 1 Timothy, there's one mediator between man and God, the man, Jesus Christ, didn't he? That's it. What's the way to heaven? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The way to heaven, folks, is to believe in Jesus. That's what he said. And that's real great, isn't it? I mean, that is so complicated and so hard. I mean, you just got to be a theologian and have 4 years of Bible college and 4 years of seminary to understand that, don't you? That's why the intellect's going to hell. That's why Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, not many mighty, not many noble, not very many, just a few, maybe just a few. See? Smart men are too smart to believe something that simple, aren't they? You know, heaven's going to be filled with folks that couldn't read and write. And going to be, and hell's going to be full of college graduates. Great salvation. It's a great salvation because it shows a great person. I mean, great salvation comes from a great God. It brought a great grace to bring us to a great Savior. I mean, this book here, the book that we're studying in the book of Hebrews. We went through it some months ago. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is greater than all the prophets. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is greater than all the angels. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than Joshua. He's greater than Aaron. And he's greater than the tabernacle worship. Jesus is the greatest of all of them. It's called great salvation because it shows a great person. This person is so great. He's so great that he's the main subject in the greatest book in the world, the Bible. This book's been around ever since man himself. This book's always been. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, I mean, this earth's been around a few days too, isn't it? I mean, if you look up, the heavens have been around a few days too, hadn't they? But he said, they're going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Folks, you know what he said? He said, if you believe what this says, you'll live just as long as this is around. This is eternal, folks. We're dealing with eternal things. We're not dealing with temporal things. We're not dealing with a few years or a few months. We're not dealing with an endowment plan. We're dealing with eternity, aren't we? It's called a great salvation because it solves a great problem. You know the greatest problem you've got this morning? Now, I don't know all of you. I don't know. I don't know what your problem is. I'm sure most of you got some problems. I know I've got a few. You see, my greatest problem is my wife just left me. Well, that's a problem. That ain't the greatest problem. I bet you probably go to the hospital this morning, walk in some of those rooms, say, what's the matter with you? And you might find some old woman there, some old man laying down and say, I've got cancer. I'm going to die in just a few weeks. But that ain't your greatest problem. You say, what could be greater than that? Man, I'm dying. That's not your greatest problem. You see, my greatest problem is I'm broke and my rent's due and my insurance is due and I've got no groceries. That's a problem. But that ain't your greatest problem. It's your greatest problem this morning is your greatest problem is sin. That's your problem. And Jesus took care of that. He has solved the greatest problem the world's ever had. And that's the problem of sin. Now we've got the idea in this day and time, you know, we're going to educate them out of sin. They come out here a few years ago and they say, well, the problem is we've got to get everybody on the same level of education. And that'll solve the problem. Well, they got everybody on the same level, so they say, and things got worse, ain't it? It's almost got uncontrollable. The problem, folks, is sin. And the only answer for sin is Jesus. You get Jesus in a man's heart and you'll solve the greatest problem you ever have. You know why the undertakers are doing such good business today? You know, I've said this thing so many times. Anybody ever see a death certificate? And on that death certificate, it's got reason for death. I imagine this lady here in Bergen Hospital has probably seen a lot of this. They say, what happened to that fellow there? Well, he got in a car wreck and got his head cut off. But that ain't why he did it. So I said, he had ulcers and or the ulcers eat his stomach up and became cancerous and eat him up inside. That's not why he died. You know, you could put one thing on every bottom of every death certificate and be right, and that is sin. The wages of sin is death. That's why you die. You ain't deny the Bible, deny everything God said. That's one thing man can't deny. It says, for all have sinned, doesn't it? And come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, no exception, no exemption. All, A-L-L. Every man, every woman, everywhere in the world, all have sinned. And Jesus took care of the sin problem. He told us, he said over there in John chapter 11, he said, believe on me and you shall never die, didn't he? Because when you believe on him, you'll take care of the sin problem. The greatest problem that we've got this morning in America, the greatest problem in your life is sin. And Jesus took care of that, didn't he? This great salvation takes away sin. Let me show you something, folks. You know that old song? I remember. You used to sing it when I was little. It's called When the Saints Go Marching In. Borrowed me that old song. I remember my grandma used to sing that song all the time. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. I'm in it. And you know what? When all the saints go marching in, if you're in that number, you'll know it's because of one thing. You're in that crowd because of the great salvation that God provided in His Son, Jesus Christ. There won't be one person to ever stand before God and say, Lord, I'm here because of the great things that I've done. You say, God, I'm here because you provided a great Savior for a great sinner. These folks are so self-righteous and think they're so good and so righteous and holy. I would give you 20 cents for it. It's a great salvation. It delivers from all sin. It delivers not only from sin, it delivers from the penalty of sin. It delivers from the power of Satan and puts us in God's great light of life, doesn't it? Great salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a great salvation because it took a great price. You know the price it took to keep your soul out of hell this morning? It took the best heaven had, didn't it? That's what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says. The Bible says he humbled himself and became fashioned like unto a man. God himself become down like a man. Now folks, let me show you something this morning. If you stir around, you know, you can ought to understand this. Man this morning is about the lowest thing in this world. And you got some folks today say, well, things are getting better. Let me just hard to disagree with that. Have you looked around this day and time at how better things are getting? You see, you don't have to go to these shopping centers too much and just look around. You'll see things look like animals. People got no pride, got no morals, got no decency, got no self-respect. It's all gone. Let's say things are getting better. Crime is increasing every day. Murder, rape, embezzlement, stealing, everything's getting worse. You know why? Because sin's getting worse. And you know why sin's getting worse? Because more rejecting Jesus. You know, folks don't like to come here. Now, if we had a bunch of maybe rock and roll singers, we wouldn't have room to even put half of them. They have them down at the Coliseum here sometimes, and you can't even get close to the place. Now, if we had some good entertainment here, we could fill this place up, couldn't we? But folks, we're not trying to entertain you. We're trying to keep you from going to hell and trying to teach you to live for Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, he who was rich, now listen to this, talking about Jesus, became poor for our sake that we through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he was made sin. The most righteous thing in heaven came down, wasn't made a sinner, but was made sin for us. For him who knew no sin, Jesus never sinned, never knew no sin, and yet God put mine and your dirty sin on him, and he died that we might one day be declared as righteous as God himself. What a great salvation, isn't it? This morning only heaven knows what it took to save us this morning. I mean, we've read in the Bible where Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But folks, let me tell you something this morning. Only eternity will ever reveal the real truth of what it took to save us from going to hell. But one thing we do know this morning, we know this, that whatever it took, Jesus did it, didn't he? I mean, we know this, that we didn't have no part of it, did we? I mean, it wasn't my doings. It wasn't your doings. God didn't leave it where it was just partly done. We had to finish it up. When he said on the cross, it's finished, he meant it was finished, didn't he? It's been finished 2,000 years, folks. It's been complete. I meant salvation is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing, mixed with nothing. It's all Jesus or it's all hell. And you know what it depends on? Now what do you have to do to believe? That's what it depends on. So it depends on whether I go to church or not. Depends on whether I put money in church. Don't do no such a thing. Depends on whether you believe in Jesus. A lot of folks go to church, faith, and put money in church, going to hell. Great salvation because it took a great price. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Know ye not that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold or tradition?" You got folks this morning that think, well, I've got money and I'll give a little money to this, a little money to that, and I'll be justified. The Bible said, "Know ye not, ye were not." Absolutely not. You didn't have all the money. Buy everything you can get your hands on, get your eyes on, still be unsaved and die and go to hell. Know ye not, you are not redeemed with corruptible things. Matter of fact, the Bible calls silver and gold corruptible if you think it's redemption. But he says, here's what you were redeemed with. But with the precious blood of Christ as a spot without blemish. Folks, it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to save your soul. Didn't take no amount of money. Didn't take no amount of effort on your part. Didn't take anything mama done or grandma done. They took the precious blood of Jesus to save us. The wages of sin is death. You know what wages are? If you ever work, you know what wages are. It's what you get. It's what you earn, right? You know what sin earns you? Sin earns you a free trip to hell. But the blood of Jesus paid for that. The blood of Jesus bought you. The blood of Jesus redeemed your soul. Not only that, it has great privileges. It's a great salvation because it has great privileges. You know what this salvation does? It puts us in the greatest family in heaven or on earth. That's the family of God, doesn't it? The family of God. It's called a family. Saved folks are one family because they got the same mom and daddy. Your kids are mine. They don't have my blood. Wasn't born in my family, nor mine yours. But every saved person's put in one family. And that's the family of God. That's the family he's coming back for. That's the family that's going to live together in eternity. There's two families in the world. There's the family of God, and there's the family of the devil. And he's got a crowd too. He's got a bigger family right now, too. It has great privileges. Now, let me show you something over there. Just go back a minute to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, just for a minute. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 32. Romans 8, 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not his own son, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, the Bible says this, if God didn't spare his own son, if God didn't spare his own son, how many of you give your own son for somebody that hated your guts? How many of you mamas would let somebody take your only son out and nail him to a barn door for somebody that hated you? That's what God did. And it says in Hebrews, if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, that's talking about the Old Testament. It says if everything was spoken back under there under law, it says, and one deviation from that law demanded a just recompense. If everything back in the Old Testament, God said, demanded some recompense for every violation, and it did, he says this, how do you think you're going to escape if God didn't spare his own son, and if God gave us off of this free salvation at the expense of his son, Jesus Christ, how do you think you're going to escape? And of course, the answer is implied, you won't. Now folks, I haven't neglected this great salvation. If you're saved, you haven't neglected it. But if you're unsaved, you neglected this great salvation. Now you know what neglect means? Did you ever maybe go up to your house and just walk around and see the eaves rotting down? You say, I've just neglected that thing. I mean, I know it's there all the time. I've just neglected doing anything with it. Now you know what you've got to do to go to hell this morning? I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you what you've got to do to go to hell. Nothing. Not one thing. From the day that you understood you was a sinner, whether you was 2 years old or 20 years old, from that day on, you're heading for hell till you trust Jesus. You ain't got nothing to want to go to hell. Folks are like, I ain't going to hell because I ain't done nothing bad. It ain't what you've done, folks. It's what you are. Your trouble ain't what you've done. Your trouble is what you are. And you are a sinner. You're born that way. You can't change it. The only thing change what you are is the blood of Jesus Christ. Before I got saved and I used to drink and cuss and fight and everything else, I wouldn't dare tell all you. I wouldn't go into hell because of them things I'd done. I'd done them things because I was lost. I ain't saved this morning because I come to church and study the Bible. I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus. I ain't going to heaven 1 second for what I've done. I'm going to heaven for what Jesus done for me. But I ain't done nothing. I don't know how to do nothing. I don't know how to handle sin, but Jesus died for it. The only hope this morning you've got is to believe on Jesus Christ. Apart from that, you're hell bound. And if you don't believe it, just hang on. Folks, I don't like that kind of preaching. I know the devil don't either. That's the only thing that gets you out of there. You know, you got some mamas and daddies. I'm surprised. You know, there was a time when mamas and daddies liked to see their children go to church. You got mamas and daddies today that are going to hell and don't care and want their kids to go there too. We had some kids come here, teenagers, and we preached to them. And they went home and began to tell mama and daddy what they heard. They said, you ain't going back over there no more. Mom and daddy are probably going to go to hell and going to make sure the little kids go with them. Folks, if there's one thing you ought to be concerned about, you ought to be concerned about your children. I mean, let me tell you something here. I remember a few years ago, I barely remember this, but how many remember Granny Mike in Atlanta, Georgia? And I believe it was the late 30s or early 40s. That big hotel on Peach Street burned up, the Waldorf Hotel. These big headlines. I remember it a little bit. I was real little. I remember it. Anyway, years later, I talked to a preacher. And this preacher was there. When that morning, it was in January. In Atlanta, Georgia, it gets cold. It was January, and then the ground was froze. And he said he stood down there at the bottom of on Peach Street where this big hotel just engulfed in flames. Back then, didn't have all the modern equipment, ways to get water to things, and a lot of the water was froze anyway, and there wasn't a whole lot they could do about the fire. But the place had a lot of people in it. It's a big hotel. I did have more facts on it than I got, but I just remember a few things this preacher said. And he said he watched people, several, and he gave a few illustrations that I won't go into, but he said he could see through the windows, and the fire was just flaming, and you could see people go by the window. And they said they would go back and forth from the window to the fire, from the window to the fire, and the fire was getting closer and closer. And he said right before the fire got to them, they jumped out the window, 4 and 5 stories high. And he said some of them hit that eye so hard that it popped the eyeballs clean out of their head. That's what people will do before they're burned, folks. People do anything before they're burned, and yet folks sit back knowing they're going to hell and won't do a thing about it. Fire will turn anything. There's not the bravest animal in the world won't turn from fire. Fire is God's judgment, folks, on sin. Jesus said in Matthew 25 that he prepared hell for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for you, because God didn't intend for you to go there. God sent Jesus as a means of your escape. And you want to sit back and neglect Jesus and go somewhere God didn't want you to go. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for one person. And hell's going to be filled with people, though, because you neglected God's great salvation. Great salvation because it requires a great responsibility. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, you know, it doesn't say that if you're a murderer. Doesn't say it, does it? It doesn't say how shall you escape if you're a murderer? How shall you escape if you're an adulterer? It doesn't say how shall you escape if you're a thief or if you're an infidel. It says how shall you escape if you neglect it. In other words, just don't do nothing. Just sit back and don't do one thing. If you're sitting there this morning and you're unsaved, and I don't know your heart. I don't know a thing. You can tell me you're saved, and I won't deny it, because I don't know. So you can't see salvation. I mean, you don't know I'm saved, but I do. And I don't know you're saved, but you do. As you're sitting there hearing what I've got to say, and that's God's way. That's God's way. Notice what it says up there. It said in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have what? Heard. That's God's way. God's way is for you to hear. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and when you hear it, believeth on him that sent me, God's promise, God's guarantee, shall not come into condemnation. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's God's promise. That's God's way. God's way is for you to hear. That's why he calls preachers, not entertainers. I meant, when Paul wrote Timothy, he didn't say, now Timothy, be sure you entertain the people. Be sure you make them like you. Be sure you have something for them every Sunday where they'll enjoy it and come back next Sunday, did he? He said, preach the word, didn't he? Tell them what the word says. Let them hear what God has to say. And let them respond to what God said. Folks sit back and say, well, I don't believe you because I don't think you got, I mean, I always heard this. Well, if you always heard anything different from the word of God, you better quit listening to what you always heard and listen to the truth one time, huh? Folks, let me tell you something. A lot of my distant kin are Methodists. And I ain't against Methodists per se. They got some wrong ideas. My aunt told me one time, she said, if your grandma wasn't saved, ain't nobody saved. I said, that's a lie. Don't mean a thing. Folks, if my grandma died without Jesus, she's in hell tonight, this morning. Your grandma died without Jesus, she'll go to hell. You die without Jesus and you'll go to hell. That's the way it is. But God, in his great mercy and grace, has offered us a great salvation. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas went over to Philippi, And they got this fortune teller, they weren't heard of God, and they beat him and put him in jail. And that night, the Bible said about 12 o'clock, they began to sing songs, began to praise God. And that jail began to shake, and the doors flew open, and the bands fell off of them. And that jailer come in, that scared to death. I mean, the man that had them beat and put them in jail, he come in so scared he's about to kill himself. Because he knew if them prison was gone, he was a dead duck. And he knew then, when he saw that, he knew he wasn't dealing with ordinary men, didn't he? And he come in and ask a question, maybe the same question you're asking. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they didn't say, "Go join the Baptist church." And they didn't say, "Get baptized." And they didn't say, "Talk in tongues." And they didn't say, "Go where they healing," did they? They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," didn't they? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And you know what he done? He believed, didn't he? And God saved him. We'll see him in glory one day. It's not what you've done, it's what you believe. Great salvation, because it's great privileges. And then it's a great salvation because of its great penalty. A man that rejects God's great salvation will face God's great penalty. Let me show you something in Revelations. Revelation chapter 20. And we'll conclude with this. Revelation chapter 20. And this is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is the final judgment in the Bible. This is the last one. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, that sat, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away." Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall flee away." And this is when it happens. Heaven is going to be rolled back like you roll up a piece of paper, and earth is going to literally vanish. And there'll be nothing there but outer space, and a great white throne with God on it, and every unsaved person is going to appear there before God. You'll have no lawyer. You'll have no defense. You won't buy your way out. There'll be no mistrials. There'll be no reprieves. This is the final judgment. The Bible says, "And the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." Folks, I'm glad I got a place this morning, ain't you? I got a place. I got a place. But the Bible said these people didn't have no place. They just there wasn't no place for them. They didn't believe, so Jesus didn't prepare them a place. So there they are in outer space. Boy, the astronauts really get something out of this, wouldn't they? Just in outer space. Just standing there suspended out of space with nothing but God before them. Here's what it said. No, it said no exceptions. No, they're all the same thing. "And I saw the dead, small and great." That's the paupers, the drunks, the harlots, the kings, the governors, the ambassadors, all the big shots, they're all there. They all stand together. "I saw the small dead, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." You know that book's going to be? You know that book's going to be? I got it. Read John 12, chapter 48. The books were open. He said, "Well, that's just one book, though." Yeah, but this book's got 66 in it, ain't it? 39 the Old Testament, 27 in it. The books were open. That's this one here. This is 66 in one. And they were open. You say, "Well, what does it mean?" It says over there, "For all have sinned." Oh, but, it says, "And come short, but, for the glory of God," see? Now, some come short than others, but y'all come short. Maybe you ain't as bad as the next fella, but you bad enough. And don't believe that junk about, "Well, I ain't quite good enough to go to heaven." quite bad enough to go to hell. Folks, if you're a sinner, you're just right for hell. But you know the joy of a sinner? Them's the kind to get in, ain't it? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the requirement for getting saved, is to realize you're lost. Or the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The sea, everybody in the sea. That means everybody from Noah's day, the flood. They'll all come up. And death and hell. Notice, death and hell. Now death is the body. And hell is the soul. When you die, your body don't go to hell. Your soul goes to hell. Your body goes to the ground. And one day, the dirt's going to give up that body. And hell's going to give up that soul. And you're going to stand there before God. The Bible says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man. Notice, every man, according to their works. Now if you judge for your works in this dispensation, you go to hell. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now listen to this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell, your body and soul, were cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says, this is the second death. Now folks, let me show you something right there. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. That's what determines where you go to judgment. What's appointed unto man once to die? But the Bible said this is the second death, doesn't it? You know that second death's not appointed? That second death only comes if you reject Christ as your Savior. This is the second death. That is the eternal separation from God. And listen to verse 15. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But if you're one of those that will not come, Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. I mean, read the Old Testament, read it, and you think you got life because of something you've done. That's what he said. He said that to religious people. He didn't say that to the harlots and the thieves. He said that to church people. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think you are right. Don't you think you're all right this morning? But he said in verse 40, he says, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. That's why men go to hell. They will not come to Jesus. Whosoever will, let him come. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever. That means you. And whosoever will not come unto Jesus will just go to hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a great penalty, folks. God is so great, he saves you. God's judgment is just as great as salvation, the other way around. There's no judgment like God can bring. Could you imagine today, if they come out on television and said, now we're not going to electrocute people, we're just going to burn them. Why, people get an uproar, wouldn't they? Go crazy. Oh, you cruel, mean thing. You wouldn't dare. You wouldn't dare do that. But God says this, you reject my great salvation, and I'll burn you. See, I don't believe a loving God would do that. God loves us all, and God wouldn't send me to hell. No, God wouldn't send you to hell. You reject Jesus. You just...